I got to listen to Lifeline because Neil has Andy Andrew on today, author of the book She Is Free. It's about learning the truth about the lies that hold us captive. And want to welcome Andy Andrew to the conversation. Andy, good to have you with us on a Thursday edition of Lifeline.
Yes, it's great to be with you guys. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I wasn't officially advocating calling in sick just to listen to the interview, but you know, you know where I'm going with that, right?
Yeah. Yes, I totally do.
Okay. Well, this topic is so near and dear to my heart because I'm a guy who grew up believing a lot of lies. And have a very similar story to yours. We can talk about that down the road, but really it's about the book and it's about what God's done in your life. So I want the focus to kind of be there, but just know that you're in good company. We talk about this kind of thing fairly often on the program. So, you know, you can relax and know that we're not going to be judging you because the greatest thing is truth, and your book's about truth. And
yes.
You know, I want to just make a point here, and I've said it 1,000 times. Our listeners have heard it, but for your sake, I love when we talk about anything that's really true, that really deals with truth, because Jesus shows up. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So if we're talking about truth, we know he's in the midst of the conversation.
Absolutely. I'm with you 100%. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I described the book a little bit earlier, 20 minutes ago or so. I was telling people who we'd be talking with. You've got some incredible endorsements from Christine Kane. She's been our guest before on Lifeline. And
that's great.
You know, Nancy Alcorn, John and Lisa Bevere, also Darlene Check. So you've got some pretty cool friends, Andy. And obviously they like what you've done here. Just give us the elevator pitch on the book. Like, you know, somebody says, "Oh, you're an author. You wrote a book about what?" Like, give us the short version.
Yeah, well, for me, I think, you know, I started serving Jesus about 20 years ago, and fast forward about, 10 years into that, and I had 3 kids under the age of 3. And when I grew up, I grew up in what would be considered a church, but it was very controlling, and there was a lot going on there that wasn't healthy. So I ran away from the church when I was younger. So when I met Jesus at 19, literally everything changed. But then, you know, it was kind of like I would say I went through what would be called the dark night of my soul. After I had 3 kids under the age of 3, it was a total surprise, but a gift to have my 3rd child, my daughter. But at that same time, I got to a place where I was dealing with postnatal depression for the 2nd time that had rolled over into true depression. And then things were just popping up in my life. And it was almost like, you know, those times in your life where you're doing fine. But then it's like, God is like, okay, you're ready to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those turning point moments for me where it got so dark. And I remember just being, you know, asleep and not wanting to get out of bed, but my daughter woke me up with her cries, and I was so devastated. I didn't want to go to my daughter. I didn't want to be with her. I didn't want to be with my kids, and I was like, this is not the reaction I want to be having. I was so desperate, and it was so dark, and we were going through a bit of a rough season personally, and I just remember rolling out onto the ground and going, God, I've read your word. I'm the biggest faker there is. I show up at church. Everyone thinks I look good, and I've got my 3 kids on my hips, and they're like, you're amazing. And I'm like, and I'm the biggest liar that there is. When back at home, I'm having a breakdown. I'm so scary and angry and controlling and manipulative, and depressed and dark that my husband oftentimes has to take my kids away from me, out of the room so that they're not afraid or there's not repercussions. And you know what I mean? All of these sorts of things. I just remember in that dark moment, rolling out of bed onto the ground, sobbing, going, I don't have anyone but you, God. I don't. Thinking like that was a bad thing. Like, what am I supposed to do here? Desperately wanting to be free, not knowing how, except for faking it and looking like everything was together. I was doing all the right things. I was serving at church. I had all my children. I read the Bible every day, but somehow, some way, the word of God is not coming alive in my life as my inheritance, if you will, to walk in that freedom. And I just remember being on the ground sobbing, you know, and going, God, what do I do here? Like, I don't have anyone but you. And it was like the I am said to me, that's right, you don't. And I am all you need. And it was like in that moment, there was this tangible, it doesn't happen all the time, but it was like the Holy Spirit just wrapped me up like I was in a blanket. It was like Jesus was next to me, just crying with me. And Father God covered me in his wings. And I realized it was in that place of his presence that his word would come alive and set me free. And you know what? It's year after year, season after season, heck, I'm still on the journey, you know? And it's like, you step into another season, you're like, oh my gosh, why is this a thing for me? Why am I living in bondage here? And just realizing that the freedom journey is constant as Christ reveals himself to us in different seasons of life. And so, I mean, really, it's just, that's not an elevator pitch. That was the longest elevator pitch ever. Am I fired?
It's a really tall building. Don't worry about it.
It's so tall. The tallest building in the world. But yeah, so I think for me, the massive things that I protected myself with, instead of allowing God to heal me, I protected myself with unforgiveness and fear and anger and shame and control and isolating myself from people so they wouldn't hurt me again. But I realized that those vices were not protecting me. They were destroying me, and I needed to allow God to set me free. So that is the journey here, really. It's a long journey, a journey that we're all still on, that I'm still on, as new things pop up. But yeah.
See, now I could say how long ago was that this all occurred, but I'm not going to ask that question because that's my sneaky way later of finding out how old you were, because you already told us when you came to Christ. So I won't go there.
Oh, yeah, someone's doing the math. Who's doing the math right now?
But what I do want to establish is that you're saying you really sought out God and feel like you established a true relationship with God, did I catch, around the age of 19, right?
Yeah, so that's true.
So then there was a number of years when, you know, you got married, you started having kids, that you were,
yeah,
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in a sense you said wearing a mask or playing the game of Christianity.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what did that look like? Because obviously in one sense you really wanted to know God and please him, but you're saying that there was a fake part. And
What's that
look like?
No, I think that's really good, because the thing is like, when you're faking it, you actually don't know you're faking it. So it's not like that was on purpose. It was just survival mode. And I think that was the thing. I got past the point where surviving, it was actually destroying me. It was destroying my children. It was when I realized I had a double life, in a way. Mm-hmm. There was like the church Andy, mm-hmm. the Christian Andy, the front that I put up, and it was never anything I wanted to be. I preached about not being that, and then I found myself being that. And I think that when it was just a few breakdowns that I had at the house, and where it got so scary, I remember punching a hole in a door. And I remember one time I was changing my daughter, and I just started, and my husband was right there around the corner bathing the boys. And he had to keep my kids safe. And I'm actually telling this story because I didn't cross any lines, but you know, when you're that close, and I was like, if I don't deal with this, I'm going to fall in a dark hole, and this will damage the relationships with my children, and so on and so forth. And so, it was those moments where I went, this is going to go too far. Like, there's a moment I talk about in the book where, my son, because control was such a thing for me. So I would keep the house like immaculate. I mean, I love a clean house still, but I'm not like I used to be. Mm-hmm. But so much so that in my kid's toy room, there was one morning where I was on edge. I wasn't doing well. And once again, I was dealing with things. I was in counseling. I was trying to like walk it all through. And my son, my eldest son, dumped out his Legos on the floor, and I lost it on him. 3 years old, start screaming at him, and he starts sobbing. And my husband goes, go upstairs. Like sent me to my room, and yeah, I was like, well, my husband sent me to my room, but I really needed to go. Uh-huh. And I just remember sobbing, going, God, how, like, I don't know what to do here. I don't want to be this person, but I need you to show me. And I mean, it's so many layers. It's forgiving people. It's forgiving myself. And I remember coming downstairs, and my beautiful 3-year-old boy, he still had an Australian accent, because we lived in Australia at the time. My husband's Australian. And, I remember being down there, and he had cleaned up everything, and he said, look, mommy, I cleaned up everything for you. And I was like, oh no, we're not going to have a son who becomes the adult in the relationship here and cleans up my messes. And I was like, no, mommy is sorry for hurting you. Your toys are meant to be played with, and I'm going to do better. And he just hugged me, and I love kids because they forgive like that. But I was like, this cannot be the pattern of my life. So I just started to do whatever it took. Really, I'm like, okay, it's going to get ugly. I was on every altar call. People knew I wasn't faking it anymore. It got messy. So, you know, there was messy before it really got put back together, if that makes sense.
All right, we believe you punched. We believe you punched a door, but based on the sound of your voice, no one believes it was a very sturdy door. Probably very flimsy.
It wasn't. Australian doors are very, they're very hollow.
But where was the anger coming from and the lies and stuff? Like, help us understand what it looks like. Because you got to believe right now, obviously, a good portion of the people listening either are male and never had a baby or had babies and didn't experience the same kind of postpartum stuff. So somebody might just dismiss this and go, well, that was you, and it was based on a medical condition and stuff. But you're saying it was bigger than that, that this was coming from somewhere.
Yeah, it was coming from somewhere. And that's what I discovered on this journey. Because you think, what is wrong with me? Why am I acting like this? But then when you realize that you're self-protecting for some reason. So whether you had depression or not, and you're male or female, the thing is every single one of us protect ourselves and don't allow God to protect our healer. We're trying to heal ourselves, protect ourselves. And for me, it was anger and control and all of these other things. So for me, I started to go, why is this my shelter instead of God? And the more I would, you know, whether that was through counseling or reading the word of God or in prayer or, in a prayer session with someone trying to help me get to the root of things, the root came in for me when I was 3 and 4 years old. And that was when there was abuse that came into my life through someone that I should have been able to trust. And so, you know, when you're a kid, you're not processing these things like an adult. You're not going, hey, I need to tell someone, hey, that wasn't right. And to be honest, I dismissed the abuse until I was older. And even until I was an adult, because I was like, it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't as bad as everybody else, because you compare yourself, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't need to look there. That's not a problem. Until I had a daughter, boom. And that's when my whole world fell apart. And I went, if someone did that to my daughter, I would kill them. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I realized I started to, like, when you're 3 and 4 years old and you're starting to self-protect, that was when I even talked to my mom and my dad, and they said, you became very angry at that age. And it was like sweet, like fun, playful little girl became an angry, self-protecting, almost violent little girl, and they didn't know why. So that's really where it came in. And then even for me growing up in that environment and realizing my mom and dad, you know, you look back now, I have a beautiful, reconciled relationship with my parents. But home wasn't a safe place either at that time, because my parents were walking through a lot of pain. And so being a kid who could tell and felt that, I didn't have anyone to talk to about abuse. And then I didn't have a safe and trusting environment with my parents at the time, that I just had no one to go to. So I just went into self-protection and self-destruction mode until I had my own kids and went, hey, I want to be there for my kids, but I've got to change to be able to do that. I want to be present to my life. And so that's really where I realized it came in. So I had to really dismantle a lot of the lies that I believed, like lies that I need to protect myself because nobody else will, lies like I need to isolate myself because I'll be hurt again, lies like anger keeps me safe. Those are the lies that the enemy whispered in my ear as a child that I held on to and that grew over the years.
Let's go back here for a second, because we're talking about lies and we're talking about believing lies, and there's probably a lot of different ways people, you know, believe lies, but let me just give you one quick example.
We often
do a show around the time of National Teacher Day, and we ask people to talk about, you know, a teacher who made an influence in their life. And it's inevitable. Somebody will call in, sometimes many people that day will call in, and they'll begin to choke up while they're talking. And the reason is a teacher dared to believe in them. And and what happened was the teacher helped unravel a lie somehow, whether they knew it or not, that they were speaking to the pain that existed in the soul of this child who's in school. And brought to life something that was previously locked away or dead. And in the end, sometimes those people became teachers themselves, maybe even teaching the same subject or music or art or whatever. And so I'm just using that as an example, because a lot of our listeners have heard those kind of programs. The point being, we believe lies. And so sometimes it's that you'll never amount to anything, or you're stupid.
Yeah.
You know, you're not as smart as your brother. You'll never, God has no plan or purpose for you. So, you started to believe lies, and I think some of that based upon the abuse you described earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
I think, honestly, can I just say that's an amazing illustration, though? That is so true. So I thank you even for sharing that. I was getting revelation as you were saying it.
Well, you're welcome. But I mentioned that I grew up with a lot of that myself. And so, you know, and talking about abuse, we talk about sexual abuse here. There's emotional abuse. There's all kinds of stuff. And, you know, when people have experienced that and then grown up believing lies, you do stuff to try to deal with those lies, meaning you experience pain in your own life. So you try to get the pain to go away by covering it, medicating it, sometimes lashing back at others. That's where the anger comes from.
Yeah.
So, you know, these concepts are not foreign to us, but my fear is that we're talking about some pretty intimate stuff, and that this is where people start to get uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to deal with this in my own life, so I think I'm going to turn the channel.
Totally, yeah.
But don't, because freedom is available and there's help available.
Yeah.
So, Andy, but, I mean, obviously you began to recognize there was a problem.
Yeah.
And that moment when you were on the floor and God was speaking to your heart, but you've got me and I am all you need. I'm sure you didn't snap out of it at that very second, but I got to believe you got a whole bunch of hope all at once.
Yeah, I did. I think that was the moment. I want to talk about those lies for a moment, and I'll come back to that moment on the floor, especially for those that are saying, I'm so glad you're pointing all of these things out, people that may feel uncomfortable. Look, the journey that you embark on when you're finally like, look, I'm going to look my pain in the face. I'm going to face this with the healer. I'm going to walk in it. It is hard, but it's worth it. And I think that's the thing, is I want to put hope into the listeners today. If you're listening and you're going, there's just no way. There's no way I can be free. Can I give you hope and tell you that you absolutely can be free from the lies that have held you captive? Because what I learned is that for me with those lies, is it's almost like there's an illustration I use, and it's that it's almost like you're wearing a pair of glasses, and when you're born, they're beautiful, they're clean, they're clear, but they can get smudged and scratched, and your view of the world can change. But it's almost like in that moment when I was on the floor, it was like God said, I can help you with your glasses. Like, I can help you see right again. I can help you see clear again. And yes, you're just going to have to take me by the hand and walk with me. And you're right. It was a moment of complete and total hope, being there going, I am in my darkest hour, yet you are here and I feel safe and peace. And this is all I've ever wanted. And so as I walked with peace and in that peace, day by day and still in every season of my life, because now we pastor a church here in New York, and it's like life doesn't get any easier. It's just that it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are with you through it all. And there is healing and there is freedom for every single one of us. So, I don't know if that makes sense.
It sure does. Absolutely. And by the way, you mentioned co-pastoring a church with your husband, Paul. It's called Liberty Church, appropriately.
it is.
Yeah. I don't know if that played into it at all, but is it in New York City or Brooklyn? Where is it exactly?
Yeah, we've got four communities in New York City, actually. We've got one in Dumbo, Dumbo, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one in Broad Street, right across from the New York Stock Exchange. We've got one in Union Square in the evening, in Union Square Ballroom, and one in the Upper West Side that's in a movie theater up there right by Columbus Circle in Lincoln Center. So we've got four here in the city, one in St. Petersburg, Florida, as well, and one in Manzini, Swaziland. And we've got a team on the ground in San Francisco that are getting ready to plant over the next year. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So all those churches plus four children, you got a pretty busy schedule,
I would think. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but you even had time to talk with us. It's incredible. Well, I guess bottom line is I want to let folks know that we're here to talk about it today. So some of you have experienced the same kind of pain or realize you've lived under a lie and have been held back. I mean, the point is you end up being held back, and that's the enemy's goal. We can never become what we're supposed to be in Christ unless we can find freedom. So obviously then the book, and we'll deal with more of the details in a moment, but the rest of the book is about how to discover that freedom and walk in it.
Yeah, totally. And that's what I want to say. This is just a practical tool that can help you on the journey. So this book, it's some of the feedback that I've been given from people are on, you know, when they send me emails or testimonies, is that some of the people that live in New York, they're like, do not read this on the subway. They're like, this is a at-home, work it through with God. And that's the whole point, is I want people that read this to be able to go there and go to those spaces and places that, you know, when we're running too fast, sometimes we don't slow down enough to pay attention to the symptoms of the problems that are surfacing in our lives. So, yeah, it's really just an amazing tool to help you slow down, process, and walk in freedom in different areas of your life. It's that chipping away process. It's, you know, God chiseling out and carving, you know what I mean? Like molding us into who He has always created us to be. So that's what it's for. It's just an aid on the journey.
I got to ask you a question. Dara McLean sings a song called Blameless. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but I mean, and then there's another one. I think Mercy Me does Flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy Me does Flawless. And so you hear the words of these songs, and basically what it's saying is, you know, in a nutshell, paraphrased, you know, God sort of speaking to us, you're my prized child. You know, you're holy, you're blameless, you're perfect in my sight, I love you, et cetera. And I, in one half of me, maybe now 60% of me loves those songs because it's so freeing. But the other part is still cringing going, that can't be true. That's so good. That's so off the charts, you know. But really what we're talking about is the unconditional love of God, the immeasurable grace of God. And it's what the word says. Andy, help me here. It's what the word says. But as humans, you know, the enemy doesn't want us to believe it. And I think until we can say goodbye to the flesh forever, we have a hard time believing it, don't you? Do you ever feel
it's
that way?
Totally, 100%. It's a total wrestle that we have here on earth until we breathe our last and we're like, oh, I get it completely. It's like, you know, it's almost like we still see, even though we're unveiled to the Christ, he is still revealing himself to us. And so even just a couple of weeks ago, I remember just like, I'm so tired and weary and there's so much going on, you know, just your humanity and all of those things. I remember waking up feeling like a bit of a failure. But the Holy Spirit just whispered to me, Andy, I love you in all of your humanity. And I was like, what? Like, and it was kind of like just a reminder of like your tired, weary self that once again doesn't want to get out of bed is like, oh, come on, do we have to keep going? It's like a good father. Like when I look at my kids and they're tired and they're grumpy and sometimes they drive me crazy, I'm like, you know, I just love them and all their crazy. And I'm like, thank God that he loves us and all our crazy. But you're right. Sometimes it's a wrestle to even believe that that's true. But that's part of the journey as well, you know, that we're adopted, that we're children, that we're not orphaned anymore. And sometimes we just live from that place of orphan. And when we recognize even that and how adopted we are and how loved we are, it becomes insane how we can walk in freedom and boldness and power in that.
Andy Andrew is our guest. I want to get to some calls here. And if you want to join us, we've got a line. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, Lynn, you'll be first. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Hi. Does anything we're saying today make sense? Please tell me you're...
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Good. Jesus for the cross.
Amen.
You know, I tried for years to accommodate everybody to be accepted and loved. And, you know, I was a drug addicted prostitute and homeless. And, you know, the enemy got me real young, though, just telling me that there's something, and I believed the lie, that there's something wrong with me, you know, and that's why my mother abandoned me. That's why our grandmother died. And, you know, trying to find something to love me and accept me, don't die, don't leave. And that's what I found in Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? He'll never leave me. He'll never deny me. And you know, Neil, when you said that scripture, I have it on my back, but I have it from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. You know, God delivered me, and it's a daily journey. But it's the lie that I believed. Like, wow, he really can love a person like me. You know, that he died for me.
That's
you know,
so
and I am useful today.
Lynn, you rock.
It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And, you know, every time I hear, you know, it reminds me of Bill and Lily and Natalia from Celebrate Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hurt habits and hang-ups, you know, that Celebrate Recovery and those things that I still look to on the outside, whether it's food, sex, shopping, you know, something from the outside, but it's because it always feels like it's not good enough, that I'm not good enough, but I am.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
You are. Amen.
And, you know, and I'm just so glad that God just kind of scooped me up. Well, he did. He scooped me up and he put me on my path.
So how long would you say that you've known freedom? And by the way, I can hear that you're saying it's still a journey, which Andy and I agree. It's a journey.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't mention the church. I started going to Love Joy Gospel, a Love Joy Church in Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I was set free in so many of the praise and worship before the service began. You know, so I mean, in going through inner healing, so probably the past, I'd say 10 years, I've been away from drugs and alcohol for 17 years almost, you know, but I've been really delivered from demonic strongholds maybe the past 10 years.
Yeah, amazing.
You know? Wow. It is.
You
know,
go ahead.
The guy could use somebody like me.
Yeah, Andy, can't you hear freedom, Andy? I can hear freedom, actually.
I can. You can tell from the inside out. It's amazing.
Yes. So, yeah, it's joy. It's joy. So, you know.
All right, so wait. As you're listening to Lynn talk, what comes to mind? What would you say to her to encourage her in the continued journey of walking in freedom?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me, and Lynn, I can tell you already are an advocate for freedom and just spreading the love of Jesus everywhere you go. But that's the thing I would say is keep telling your story, is that you are free to set others free. And that's the whole journey, too, is that we, you know, I think about the times we're living in, and I'm just like, oh, we just don't have time, do we, to stay in bondage, because there are so many people in our world and our spheres of influence that need to see that Jesus works, the gospel actually works. And so I'm encouraged and inspired by you, and just keep going for it. Keep bringing that freedom wherever you go, because it's changing people. It's changing you. You're changed, and therefore bringing that change and the good news wherever you go.
You know, I just want to say, you know, I'm a social worker by education, you know, and I believe in, you know, and I've been taught all about that counseling and counsel people. My ministry is you can be healed and you can be delivered. You don't need to cope with things. You know, Jesus Christ, you open up your heart, he can heal you. You know, so that's my message for people. You know, whether
amazing,
no matter where I go, we can be healed and delivered.
So well said.
So.
Lynn, thank you.
May God bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn. Good to meet you.
Yeah, Andy, she raises a great point there in the idea that, like, your book really isn't a self-help book to better manage your life. You're talking about a jailbreak here. Like, you can actually experience freedom in Christ, right? That's what I'm picking up.
Well, that's the whole thing, is I just realized one of the lies that I believed, too, was that freedom or healing was for everybody else. But I'm like, wait, did I receive all of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit or not? And did they know how I tick and what I need or not? And so just understanding that as we continue to connect with the Father's heart, who he truly is, with Jesus and everything that he died and rose again to give us, that healing is imminent. Like, it will happen. And it's just, you know, so yes, it's a total jailbreak.
Couple of things. I want to get to the concept of shame, because you talk about it in the book, but let's get back to the phones for a second, because got a bunch of calls to get to here. Bob, you're first. Kim right after that, and then on to the rest of your calls. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Bob, you had a question for Andy? What's up?
Yes, I do. I'm trying to get closer to Jesus, and I just can't do it. I don't know why.
Okay.
Oh, what was the question? Sorry,
says
about
he
that, Bob.
Wants to get closer to Jesus, but just can't do it and doesn't know why.
Oh. Well, for me, I think here's what I would do, Bob. In your time after you get off the radio and the phone call here, I think for me, I've been in seasons and in places like that where I have felt so far away from God. And sometimes what I've done is I've just sat there. Maybe if you can find someone that you trust to sit with you in prayer as well. And there's been times where I've said, God, I feel like there's a wall in front of me. And who built that wall? What was that?
That's why I feel like I got a wall in front of me.
Mm-hmm. You've got a wall in front of you. Yeah. So you know what I'm going to ask you to do, Bob, is when you get off the phone, is ask God or ask the Holy Spirit or Jesus and just say, why is that wall there and what is it built with? And when you hear an answer or feel an answer or maybe sense or think an answer, then just ask Father God or Holy Spirit or Jesus, how do I take this wall down? And maybe you're supposed to take it down. And a lot of times we do this in our mind. We picture how that happens. And a lot of times we'll just figure out maybe it was pain or a moment that built that wall. But I feel like that is where I've been helped in the past. What about you, Ron? Is there anything that you're thinking that that we could do different?
You know, let me ask you this, Bob, real quick, as we continue here, and I'm going to ask if we can pray for you in just a second, but do you know Jesus? Have you invited Christ into your heart, Bob?
I have. Jesus talked up two or three times. I don't ever feel. I got a couple of religious friends who we go around with.
Okay, so you said that you've actually prayed to receive Christ several times. That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, let me just say something right off the bat. Jesus said, that he stands at the door of our heart, essentially, and knocks, mm-hmm. that he wants to be a part of our life. And then it says in Revelation chapter 3, if we open the door of our heart, that he will come in, and he will have fellowship yeah. with us, and we with him. So one thing you need to know, and we'll pray about all this with you, Bob,
yeah.
but that Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to know you even more than you want to know him. So first yeah. and foremost, let's proclaim that truth, that Jesus already said, I want to know Bob, and I want to have a relationship with Bob, and if he'll open the door of my heart, I will come in. Then the Bible goes on from there to talk about that once he comes in, the Holy Spirit comes along and nails the door shut so that we yeah. have that relationship yeah. forever. And those are things that we're not saying, that you can find this in Scripture. This is what the Word of God says. So, Bob, yeah. a lot of what you may be describing, and I'm not a counselor, a professional counselor. I'm a pastor, but I'm not a counselor, you know, is the feelings you have about it and the lies you're believing that the enemy wants you to believe about all this. But the truth of God's word is that Jesus wants to know you once and for all and forever, and wants to reveal himself to you the way he revealed himself to Andy and to me
yeah.
in pulling away these lies and showing you how precious you are to him, how much yeah. you mean to him. Because, Bob, when he was dying on the cross, he was doing it for me and for you and Andy and for all of us who so desperately needed the forgiveness that only he can offer. So
yeah.
I'm just wondering, Bob, if you're willing, do you believe that if you open the door of your heart, that Jesus will come in once and for all to stay there? I mean, that's what his word says. Do you believe that?
I believe it, yeah.
Okay. Then let's do this. And you may have already done this several times, and who knows, you know, exactly where your heart is at with the Lord. It sounds to me like you know him, but since you're questioning it right now, let's do this together. We're in this together, Bob. You're not the only one who's ever struggled with these kind of questions. So you're in good company with Andy and I and the rest of the folks that are listening here. So let's do this. Why don't you invite Jesus to come into your heart once and for all and just say, Lord, I've done this before, but I want to do this right here and right now, knowing that you want to be in my life. And so I invite you in, forgive me of sin, and teach me to love you back. You know, teach me how much you love me. Let me walk with you. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Bob, but I want to give you the opportunity right here to open that door of your heart. We can all agree together in prayer. We'll thank God that once he comes in, he seals that door. And then we're going to pray that God would really teach you to just rest in the reality that you belong to Christ and he belongs to you and you've got a relationship with him. And we'll ask that God would remove the barriers and allow you to walk in the freedom that you're seeking after, because it's only available in Jesus. You won't find it anywhere else, Bob, but in Jesus. Yeah. So we got to get him into this equation once and for all. Would you be willing to pray and invite him in?
Yes.
Okay, so what I want you to do is, in your own words, invite Jesus to come in, ask for forgiveness of sin, thank him that he makes good on his promises and that he's come into your heart. Thank him that he's now in your life. You know, after you pray that, thank him that he's in your life. And you say amen, and then when we finish, I'll ask Andy to pray for you for this journey that Jesus wants to have. But I just want you to be sure from the beginning, Bob, that Jesus is a part of this, and you can rest on that truth that he wants yeah. to know you too, all right, that he wants that wall yeah. removed. So you go ahead and you pray, and we'll just be quiet. If you can, pray out loud for a second, and then when you're done, say amen, and we'll ask Andy to pray for you, okay?
Good.
In your own words, Bob, it doesn't matter. You pray out loud, and we'll just listen in.
I have trouble praying.
Well, it's
okay. You have trouble praying?
How yeah. about it just, you know, I don't want to force you, Bob, by any means. But here's the thing. Jesus just wants us to talk to him. So you told us, you said to us earlier in such a beautiful way, that you want that wall gone and that you want to know Jesus and that you really want to know that you're loved by him. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that's kind of what you were saying. So
yes.
however it comes out, just go ahead and express that back to him. Just say it as though you're talking to him.
Lord, take that wall away from me and help me on the right way, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you gave us. Thank you,
Pam. Yeah.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Andy, would you pray for Bob?
Yeah, I would love to. Father God, you love Bob. you adore him and you want him to hear your voice and know how close you are. I love that your word says that nothing can separate us from your love.
Amen.
And so I thank you that because Bob has invited you in, he's not separated from your love or your voice or who you are. So I pray in agreement with Bob that that wall will come tumbling down, whatever the hindrance has been, and he will hear the voice of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he will be amazed. So I just pray that you open his heart, his ears, his eyes in every single way, and that he would know you in deeper ways than he ever could have imagined. And I thank you for his boldness.
Yes,
to say that this is where he's at, and that, I believe, is tearing down that wall.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, back to the phones. We got to move quickly. And Kim and Kenmore's been holding. Christiana, we'll get to you in just a second. And that, those may be the only time calls we can get to. I don't know. Kim, thank you. You had a is it a question or comment?
I guess a comment that and a question. If this is talked about in her book. I'm sorry, I'm still in tears from Bob.
Yeah.
I guess after listening to him, and everything that's just been said, I grew up in a very legalistic church as well. I accepted Christ when I was 7 years old, and I don't doubt my salvation, but I just have a very hard time accepting that God loves me and that I'm worth anything to him. And I just can't. I want to receive his blessings and move forward in my life.
Yeah.
But I am
just,
I feel tread upon garbage.
Wow.
Kim, you are.
I know why we're doing the conversation today. It just occurred to me that maybe Kim was going to need this as much as the rest of us.
Yeah.
So, Andy, we're first of all, I'm sure you have some reaction for Kim here, but your thoughts?
Kim, first of all, again, I'm just blown away at your beautiful bravery to speak up, because I just know that there are people that are listening that are hearing you going, I'm not alone. And I want to say to you, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest things for me was when that trust is destroyed, when we're smaller, whether that's through a controlling or legalistic church or abuse or whatever it can be, or abandonment, is we end up feeling like we're not worth love. And that is one of the biggest lies that holds us captive and keeps us back from walking in the fullness of who we are. But I want to say to you, you can walk in freedom in this. And it's a journey to go on. But I even hear your tenderness. And I'm like, it's like I just picture the Father just wants to scoop you up in his arms and tell you the truth. He wants to tell you how loved you are and how he sees you and how amazing and brilliant you are, and that he enjoyed knitting you together in your mother's womb. And I am just so sorry for the pain that you have had to walk through to be in a place where you would not see how deeply loved and beautiful you are. And so I just want to affirm you today and say thank you again for your bravery in speaking up today.
Yeah, and
thank you,
Kim. I guess I'll pray for you this time. We had Andy pray in the past, but I also want to say we're going to get additional copies of this book, and we'll be happy to send one to you, Kim. You need to read She Is Free, because it's about the very subject you're dealing with right now, and saying goodbye to the lies and letting the truth of God's word seep in, because it's really not about even what Andy and I are saying. It's about what God has said to you personally, Kim, that you are loved, and that when Jesus was dying on the cross, it was so that one day he could know you personally. Do you realize that? He was paying an incredible price so he could know Kim and walk with Kim and enjoy conversation with Kim. That couldn't have happened unless he did that for you. And that was his demonstration of love. The Bible says God demonstrated his love for each one of us, including you, Kim, in that while we were still sinners and undeserving and separated from God, and it even says enemies of God in that same passage, that Jesus died for you and for me. So, Lord, I just pray for Kim right now and ask in Jesus' name God, that you would reveal yourself to her in a powerful way.
Yeah.
That she would come to know who you really are and how much you totally love her. That, Lord, it's your unconditional love that moved you with compassion to do this for us, and that it was not because of anything we deserved. Sure, we recognize our sin, and we know that we are unworthy and undeserving, but that's the miracle of grace, Lord. But it takes faith to believe, like more faith than we sometimes have, to believe that you actually loved us that much. How could that be? Because this world is all about scoring brownie points by doing more and trying harder and being good, and yet we know in our hearts that we've failed, utterly failed. But God, you love us. And I just pray for that truth to rest on Kim, to deeply penetrate into her heart and her life so that she might truly know who you are and begin to walk in the freedom you have for her. So God, I pray that this would be the day where everything begins to turn. Like, Lord, that she could actually mark this day and say, today's the day I turned from the lies and I turned towards the truth. I turned to Jesus, who is the way, he's the truth, he's the life.
Yeah.
Jesus is what I really need. And I pray that today would be the day for Kim to be able to stake that claim and never go back in the other direction. And Lord, while we all struggle with doubts from time to time, may she walk in freedom, set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Kim, real quick, and I'm going to ask you to hold if you can, and have Zach get some info from you if you're willing. But what about your relationship with Christ? Do you know Jesus?
Yes, I know Jesus. I don't doubt my salvation. I just...
And listen, I'm with you.
I just,
okay. Yeah. So you've walked with God for a while, but you're still being bombarded by the enemy who's lying to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Andy, that's your story too, right? You came to Christ and wrestled with the lies. So you're in good company, Kim.
Yeah.
We know where you're at. All right, hang on, and we want to be able to bless you with a book, okay? So you hang on. And we'll,
thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Time for one more quick call here. And Christiana from Buffalo, good to have you with us, Christiana. We've got a call coming up from Toronto, but we'll take that one after we let you go, Andy. I know that you're short on time, but
sure.
Christiana, we've got time for your call. What's up?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, thank you.
What's going on? You had a question?
Yeah, I have a question. So, I know Jesus, and at the same time, I have a boyfriend in my life. But looking at the goodness of the Lord in my life, I kind of want to live a chaste life till marriage before any sexually related activity. But sometimes I battle with that thought a lot, and it's hard for me to live a chaste life. But at the end of the day, I kind of keep feeling bad, depressed, because that is something I really want to do, but it's hard for me to do.
Can I jump in for a second, Andy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand, too, so go ahead.
But you're saying that you're a believer, but you have a boyfriend, and you're struggling with this concept of you're wanting to be chaste, meaning walking in abstinence, not wanting to have sex before marriage, but she's struggling with that. And that takes an incredible amount of courage to tell the truth, Christiana, but guess what? We all stumble in many ways, the Bible says, so there are many folks listening who may even be in the exact same situation. I just want to say something that's going to sound counterintuitive to many in our listening audience, but I pulled these verses earlier, Andy, while you were talking, and I don't know why, but I think this is why I pulled them out. Because Andy and I grew up in a situation that said, you know, do more, try harder, do this, do that. The reason you're asking the question, Christiana, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason you're asking is because you know that having sexual relationships outside of marriage is not pleasing to God, right? So we don't even have to say that. You're calling because you know that, right?
Right.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit's already revealed that to you. So now the question is, how do you go about changing? Should you make up a set of rules and regulations? I'm not saying we shouldn't be wise. I'm not saying you shouldn't put yourself in compromising positions. But can the rules and regulations themselves save you in this area? Or what? What's going to save you? Okay, first of all, there's a passage in Colossians 2, 21 to 23. It says, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. referring to things that all perish as they are used according to human precepts and teachings. Listen to this, Christiana. These rules that we come up with, right? Don't walk on the grass, 6-inch rule, don't touch that other person, don't look that way, don't lust, don't watch R-rated movies. All right, all these rules and regulations, here it is in Colossians 2:23. It says, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So what I'm about to say today, and I believe I'm standing on God's word, is that coming up with a bunch of rules and regulations to protect you isn't your answer. I think your answer, and Andy was talking about this earlier, your answer is Jesus and the understanding of who you are in Christ, so that as a sister in Christ, you begin to really value yourself in such a way that you would recognize that you are precious in God's sight and worthy to hold out for your wedding day and so forth. And so Titus chapter 2 says, it is the grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Grace trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. What I'm getting at, and I'll let Andy take over from here, is that as God really immerses you in his love and his truth, he's going to help you to walk in holiness and righteousness because you're going to understand fully who you are as his precious child.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be rules and regulations, but Jesus. So, Andy, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I just resound with that. I think the biggest thing for me is, well, first of all, we are made to be attracted to each other. So that is very natural. But at the same time, there is a reason why marriage is a representation of Christ in the church. And it is beautiful and it's pure. It's also that we're created in his image. So when a man and a woman come together under the covenant of marriage, it is this beautiful showing to the world of who our God is. And the thing is, the enemy wants to destroy that or pervert that before we're married, and he wants to stop it after we're married. And God is just going, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look at who I am, how I created you, how wonderful you are. See my reason and my why for having sex under the covenant of marriage and why it matters. Even in my chapter on shame in this book, I go there, I talk about this, and I think it'd be amazing for you to read it. But, when you do know who you are and how valuable you are, that's where I'm just going to have to be in complete agreement here with Neil, is that when you know who you are, you know you're a treasure and you're a prize worth waiting for. And then you just got to put smart boundaries around your life because you're a human who is attracted to this man, right? So you just got to be smart. But at the same time, when you're like, look, I'm valuable, I love you, but we're going to wait because this is worth waiting for. There are so many reasons. So dig deep. Go read what you can read. Read the Word of God. Get on your knees. Pray. Ask God to speak to you about who you are and why this is worth treasuring, and go from there. And I think you'll be amazed at what God can do in this whole situation in your life.
Absolutely. Christiana, and if you want to hang on, we'll get a copy of the book to you as well. I'm like Santa Claus today, Andy. I'm giving away books like crazy.
You are. I love it.
Christiana, I think it's going to be a great help to you. And, Lord, I just pray for her, and thank you for her honesty. I thank you for the kind of conversation we've had today, Lord. It's so refreshing and raw and real and yet not too big for you to handle. So, God, I pray for wisdom and deliverance and discernment and direction for Christiana and all the folks who may be struggling with similar things. Lord, it's you that we need more than anything else. So teach us who we really are in you. Help us to protect the value that you've placed in us by dying on our behalf, and help her to enjoy the freedom and the opportunity that awaits her if she'll do things your way by obeying you and walking according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Christiana, if you can, hang on, and Zach Mann will get your info, but thank you for your call. Andy, I know we're late here. Any final thought you want to leave with us? And again, mention, please, the website for the book.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the biggest thing I want to keep encouraging people with and putting hope into people is the journey and the process is worth it. It's worth it because you will be amazed as you look back over, sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 2 years, sometimes it's a few years or months, and you turn around and you look back and you go, oh my gosh, God, you've done what you said you would do. And it's as you choose to walk in partnership, break agreement with lies and come into agreement with the truth, and walk hand in hand in the middle of hard places and spaces in our hearts with the healer. He will heal you. He will bring freedom. It is possible. So I guess I want to leave you with that and just go. And the reason why I can say that is because I am nearly 40 years old. See, I told you my age next year. And really this book kind of started when I was 30. So it's been about 10 years and I'm just amazed at what God has done. So, you can go to, sheisfreebook.com, sheisfreebook.com. You can order your copy there, or you can go on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Christianbooks.com, there's multiple places. So, I just am so grateful for this time, Neil. You are an amazing man. I'm grateful for your story and the way you've paved the way for people to walk in freedom as well. So,
you've got an open door here, Andy. Anytime you want to come back, let's do this again. And thank you so much for taking this much time.
Thank you, Neil. I appreciate you.
And you too. God bless you.
Okay.